Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
No one plans for hair loss. But through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
A binge-worthy show about Jesus? The Chosen Season 3 is here. Come and see what the buzz is about. The Chosen explores the imperfect and messy relationships of real humans following Jesus. The first 6 episodes are available now. Stream each new episode for free. Plus, watch exclusive content like The After Show, only in the new Chosen app. Download the Chosen app on mobile and TV streaming devices. Visit BingeJesus.com to learn more.
Montgomery County, Maryland is where businesses go to be next. Home to a highly skilled, diverse workforce, a thriving business community, competitive incentives, and more. MoCo will help transform your business. Visit BeNext.ThinkMoCo.com to see how we can help you be next.
Welcome to the Fantrax Toolshed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From dynasty to prospects to redraft, we got you covered. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clay.
All right, fantasy baseball fanatics around the world, welcome to the Toolshed. This is episode 94 of the Fantrax Toolshed with Clayton Cross, powered by Fantrax and FantraxHQ.com. I'm your host, Eric Cross. We have another fun episode in store today, but first, let's bring in my 80-grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clay. Chris, what's going on, man?
Oh, not too much, but we have a great topic to talk about today that I'm really much looking forward to. I know I've had several FYPDs. I have several about to start. So spoiler, we're going to talk about first year player drafts, and we're going to discuss some notable risers and fallers, the international signees, and then we have a bunch of listener questions too. So thanks to all those who sent in questions. And we even are going to end the show with a sneak peek at FYPD for next year and what that looks like. So that's going to be a lot of fun. The rundown looks great, and I can't wait to chat. But meanwhile, you're missing two teeth. You had your wisdom teeth out yesterday, so I'm impressed that you're on here talking, because my pain tolerance is so low. Like, I'm like a baby when stuff like that happens. So I remember when I had my four wisdom teeth out, I think I was 18 when I had them all out. God, it's been 10 years. Jeez. But yeah, I just remember like being like sulking for like days, not being able to eat anything. It was awful. But props to you. We're recording a podcast. We're talking baseball. It's going to be a good day.
Yeah, it's funny. I had my bottom two out back when I was, about 18, give or take. And they said, oh yeah, you'll need to have the top two out within a couple of years. I'm like, okay. And then, 13 years later, here we are. They came in apparently over 4 years ago, according to x-rays. They just never gave me any trouble until recently. So yeah, just got the top two out yesterday. And it's funny, I never wanted crunchy food more than the last 24 hours. I had them done about 4 p.m. yesterday, Eastern time, which we're recording about 1 p.m. on Wednesday. So it's been less than 24 hours. And I was sitting there last night, my son was eating Cheez-Its. I'm like, I want those so bad right now. Like, I've never wanted Cheez-Its more in my entire life. But obviously, I had to stick to soup and pudding and applesauce and all that. I had a sandwich today, though, for lunch. I'm graduated to a sandwich, but can't drink out of a straw for like a week. So I'm like, I'll have to go old school and drink my iced coffee in the morning out of a cup and not use a straw. So don't want to rip everything open. But yeah, it's going to be a fun episode, though. We did these FYPD episodes. We did two episodes back in, was it July? I think we did them, Chris. Hitter and pitcher review.
Yeah. And then I think we did one in like October, but it's a lot's changed. So it's definitely time to update it.
Absolutely.
And we did. We have an article. We updated it beginning of this month. So yep, we hadn't talked about it in podcast form.
And we figured with everybody, like Chris mentioned, having their FYPDs right around this time, including a lot of our own personal FYPD drafts, we figured we'll have a nice little update here. Like Chris mentioned, some risers and fallers from our rankings, which have changed a good amount from back, our initial update. Like, for instance, like Khalil Watson and Brady House were like fifth and fourth for Chris and I. Now I have Watson two, Chris has Watson one, and then Brady House moved up from like 7-2 for Chris and from 8-4 for me. So plus, once you get further down the rankings, there's a lot of other big risers and fallers. Of course, some guys have played, others haven't. Some have gotten injured. So there's a lot of changes in the rankings. So we'll go over all of that, plus everything else Chris mentioned. But before we get into the show, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I am at EricCross04. And our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and review. Check out our Patreon, which is patreon.com/FantraxToolshed for extra content from both of us. And of course, check out all the other great written and audio work we have on the Fantrax HQ network, including our 2022 draft kits. Let's get right into it, though, Chris. Where do you want to start? We can start a lot of areas. Let's start with our new personal ranks. Let's go top 10 here to start. We won't give our entire rankings like we have in our other episodes with our dynasty rankings and whatnot, but we'll give like our top 10 or top 20 or so overall. And then if you want to check out the rest of our rankings, go check out fantraxhq.com. It's our combined top 100, and we have write-ups on the top 50 there. So you want to check out the rest of the rankings, go right there for those. Let's start with our new personal top 10s. Chris, what you got?
All right. So I actually like this top 10 a lot more than I did at one point. Like, I think the talent pool is a little deeper than we once thought. So there's some good names. I mean, and honestly, like, this is a tier. And let's go. I'm going to go ahead and do this. This is a listener question about the tiers, but I'm just going to go ahead and tier them out. So like, you have an idea. So tier one, first overall, Khalil Watson, Brady House at two, Marcelo Meyer at three, and Siya Suzuki at four. So that's tier one for me. Like, those four in that tier. Suzuki is in that tier because of proximity. Like, he's going to contribute right away. And I do think the talent level's there. Like, he could end up easily number one on this list. There's a ton of upside. So Suzuki is in that tier one for me. And then tier two would be Jack Leiter at fifth overall, followed by Jordan Lawler, Henry Davis, and Harry Ford. And I think I toyed with going my ninth person in tier two as well. And I'm going to do it. I think it's close enough. So Colton Cowser is in the second tier at number nine. So
good man.
Yeah,
my boy.
It's very close. I have him in four real close. I'll put him in the same tier. So Leiter through Kowser is tier two. And then Trey Sweeney is my 10th overall, starting at tier three there. And so there's a decent group of names. Actually, I would say that 10 through 13 in my rankings will be tier three. So that would, I'll just go ahead and say Sweeney, McClain, Christian McQuero, and Benny Montgomery rounds out tier three there for me. So that's the top three tiers and top 13 players for this year.
Yeah, I have 15 in my top three tiers here. So my tier one, I have five guys. I got number one, I still have Marcelo Mayer, though the gap is closing for sure. Right behind him, Khalil Watson, and then Jordan Lawler at three, Brady House at four, Siya Suzuki at five. That's tier one. Tier two, I have four guys, six through nine, Jack Leiter, Colton Kowser, who I am just, you know, I wrote an article featuring him 3-4 weeks ago, something like that. I think this is going to be an absolute fantasy. Not maybe not a stud, but he's going to be a big riser this year. So I'm kind of planting a flag on Colton Kowser now. Harry Ford and Henry Davis round out tier two. Tier three, which is 10 through 15 in my rankings. I got, actually, you know what? I'm going to make it 10 through 16. I want to put this guy in tier three as well. So 10 through 16, I got Sal Frelick, James Triantos, Christian Procuero, Trey Sweeney, Jackson Jobe, and Matt McClain rounding out that. So I was 16 for me in the top three tiers. Yeah, definitely. There's a couple of other guys that maybe could have stuck up in there, but I feel good about the top three tiers there. And like I mentioned, that's definitely a little bit different from our rankings back in July, Chris. Who was some other? Let's talk some risers and fallers here. Not just in our top, you know, three tiers here. Who was like a name or two that you found rise, you know, either rising or falling up your list or down your list in a pretty significant way?
Well, James Triantos and James Allen both moved up pretty significantly. They are 14 and 15 on my list, so right after that tier three. They were both kind of under the radar. Like, I didn't love Allen at draft time. I mean, he went, what, back in the first round, I think?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I wasn't all in on him, but he was just absolutely stellar in his debut, which caused him to move up. Triantos is another one who just performed. Like, both those guys came out of the draft and just performed at the big league level, which I thought was huge for their value. So they'll be interesting to follow to see. I know Baseball America has said Triantos is 70 grade hit. I've also heard on the flip side that Triantos values peaked from other people. So
Yeah. He's
really an interesting one to be like, you know, he's going to go one way or the other, I think. I don't think he just sits in the spot. So, but both those guys have moved up the rankings pretty significantly. I wish I had a line in a chart comparing like where I had them all ranked before, but Triantos was significantly lower. Allen was probably in my 30 to 40 range if I had to guess, but I don't remember for sure. But Lonnie White is one that moved up for me just because I got some pretty good padded paw data on him that was pretty stellar. I'm gonna pull it up, see if I can find it. But from his high school days, I mean, he was a major standout. If I remember right, he had a max EV of like 113, which was much higher than anybody in the
it's pretty damn good
class. All right, so he had a max of 113.54, and everybody is so concerned about his swing and miss, but his contact rate was 75% and he only chased 23% of the time. Just for comparison's sake, some other one, I mean, Brady House, who has massive raw power, had a max of 108 and contact at 71. Some other guys had much lower contact that are in this group that are ranked much higher. So I moved Lonnie White up for that sake. And White was also a three-sport athlete where he was elite football player. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure he also was elite on the track as well. And the fact was that he was a four-star wide receiver commit to Penn State. Now he gets to focus solely on baseball. And I think that any concerns we have about the contact skills are going to improve. I've got him at 24th overall. Maybe that's even a little low. I think I can make an argument for him above like Sal Frelick at 19, because Frelick, while a really solid hitter, just doesn't have a huge fantasy upside, in my opinion, when Lonnie White does. So Lonnie White, somebody that I'm targeting because he's a freak athlete with massive power, great speed, and I think the contact skills are better than we give him credit for.
Yeah, there are several of those types of guys, like those multi-sport star athletes in high school that are now going to be, for the first time in their lives, kind of focusing solely on baseball. So there's a lot of those intriguing types in this draft. I like Lonnie White as well. I have him 23rd right now. I can definitely see ranking him ahead of a few of the guys I have in front of him. Yeah, Jay Allen, I have at 18. He's in second guy in tier 4, right behind Roderick Arias. And then James Triantos is 12. I think Triantos, I should keep like past FYPD rankings for myself, but I think he was in the mid-20s and Allen probably late 20s. That's just random guesses, but where I think I had them initially. So definitely have had those two raised up quite a bit. And, you know, I don't know. I think it's a little early to say that Triantos' value has peaked. I'm not sure why people are saying that. I mean, I can understand it if it was like a Jason Dominguez situation where he's getting comped to three of the best offensive talents the game's ever seen as a 17-year-old. I can get that. But those crazy comps haven't been there with Triantos. So I could definitely see him rising a good ton. Like, this is a guy that could be a top 25 prospect by the end of 2022 if he has a good showing here in his first season in the minors. So the hit tool is there. That power should come along. There's at least some speed there. So, yeah, I definitely can see Triantos rising even more. And we might look back and he might be ranked as high as, Kowser and Ford, maybe even ahead of those guys, maybe even near Lawler and all these guys. I can see him getting up near that group for sure. A couple that have risen for me, like Colton Kowser, like I mentioned, he was 11 for me in my initial back in last July, and now he's 7. And I almost could literally put him 5. Like, the top 4 for me is locked in: Mayer, Watson, Lawler, House. Suzuki is there, and I can see you taking him earlier if you're, in a win now mode. But I almost could make a case for Colton Kowser at 5, especially long-term value. Like, he gets that whole, didn't play against the top-tier competition knock. And that's the same thing Chase DeLauder will probably get next year's draft, because he goes to James Madison with Colton Kowser going to Sam Houston State. So, yeah, he didn't face off against elite competition a lot. Like, he had a couple of, games against, like, Texas and stuff like that. But Colton Kowser, like, the hit tool is plus. The power is on the rise. Like, this could be a guy that hits 290 plus, hits top of the order. Like, he's got that leadoff number 2 hitter profile. And I think he could flirt 2020. I really could. We'll see how the power develops. He's already shown good speed as well. So maybe he's only, 50 to 55 power and speed guy, but this is a plus hitter, great approach, high floor, pretty good ceiling as well. Doesn't have the super lofty ceiling, but I love Colton Kowser. And then Harry Ford, another one. He was, 13, 14 in my initial. He's now 8, right behind Colton Kowser. I've moved him. He's 2 spots ahead of Henry Davis in my overall top 400, which will be, both Chris and I will be updating those early part, probably first week of March, but they're live on our Patreon. So go check those out if you're not a Patreon subscriber there. Everything about Ford has just been so incredibly, not even just positive, that doesn't even do it justice. Like, this glowing reports on Harry Ford, and to say, but he could be plus across the board offensively. People worry about that catcher tag. He's probably moving out from behind catcher long term, so don't worry about that. Whether that's to a corner infield, corner outfield, we'll see. But just look at the offensive profile. It's something Chris and I have preached a lot: is don't draft position. People have asked us, "Oh, I already have these 3 or 4 great shortstops. Should I pass on one of these prep shortstops?" No, don't. Draft the talent. The rest will figure itself out. These guys change positions all the time. Shortstops move over to third, move over out to the outfield. We'll see that with CJ Abrams and others. So don't worry about position. Grab the talent. And Harry Ford is definitely one of those talents there for sure. A couple others here. Trying to think, look at some others. Let's get into the guys we've added here, Chris. Since our last time we talked FYPD in our last rankings update, we've added in the international guys that were signed back about a month ago now, in mid-January. And obviously the top two, I think clear-cut top two from this draft class, are Roderick Arias and Christian Vaquero. And I think a lot will have Arias ahead of Vaquero, but not here. Both of us are very much on the Vaquero bandwagon here.
Yeah, it's not really close for me. I mean, I guess it sort of is. I've got Vaquero 12th and Arias 17th. I do think that Arias just gets the Yankees bump a little bit. Yep. I think he's a solid player, but I'm not sure what kind of fantasy ceiling we're really looking at here. Meanwhile, Vaquero, I feel like, just is very well rounded, which could lead him to take a humongous jump forward. And I could see Vaquero jumping to be a top 50 prospect pretty easily, when I don't really see that for Arias. So the upside with Vaquero leads me to push him much higher. I mean, you look across the board, I think he's potential plus power. He's got plus speed as well. The hit tool could even be plus. So you're looking at a true five-tool player, because he's got a great arm and he's great in the field as well. Arias, I don't think he's as flashy. I don't really know. And here's the thing. It's so hard to really put numbers on these international signees. I was actually talking with Jeff Pontus about this morning, we were chatting about Juan Ben Cho, who I'm going to mention in a little bit, but just talking about the difficulty of trying to do anything with these guys before we actually see them stateside. And we only can go off what we read from those who have been there to see him in game and the little video that we have. So it makes it tough. And in some ways, I wish that we didn't have to rank these guys in FYPD rankings. It would make our life a lot easier, because
it would, yeah.
There's so little that we have on them. And so the inaccuracy with what we do in these FYPD rankings is probably pretty high when you go back and look at them, just because there's so much unknown. There's so many unknowns here with these players. And it's not to say that we missed, it's just that we didn't know. But so I do like Vaquero. I like everything I've seen and read from him better than Arias. So that's kind of where I am on both those guys.
For sure. Yeah. I've talked with a few about Vaquero, and yeah, I think people that have really dug into Vaquero all have Vaquero over Arias. And that's not to say Arias would be bad. Like, I think there's a chance he's above average across the board type of offensive player, but Vaquero could be plus across the board and maybe even better than that, in terms of the power department. Because you look at Vaquero, he's an absolute beast already. He's listed at 6'3", 180, very strong frame, and could add more bulk. Obviously, he's still only 17 years old. He was born September of 2004, so can't imagine he's done filling out that frame. So this could be that prototypical slugging corner outfield type that also can run very well right now. He's gotten consistent plus or even better run grades. And he's shown, a good feel for hitting too. That's the one thing I hate to put grades, especially on the hit tool, because that hit tool comes in games. Like, we don't see game action from these guys. Like Chris mentioned, we're seeing video from them on a dirt field in Venezuela or Dominican Republic or Cuba or wherever it may be. And we just don't have game footage of these players. Very, very little game footage. You do on some of these guys, but not really much at all. So yeah, that's always the X factor, is the hit tool. Some players have that huge power speed blend, but can't hit enough to maximize that. So we'll see with all these guys. But yeah, definitely Vaquero over Roderick Arias. Like, I have Vaquero. He's the only international guy I put in my top 100 overall. I put him at 85 right now, and Arias is around 115, about 30 spots lower. For just FYPD purposes, I have Vaquero 13 and Arias 17. So it's not a huge gap in terms of those rankings, but I very, very solidly feel Vaquero over Arias. And since you mentioned him, Chris, let's go over to Juan Ben Cho here, who is a surprise kind of late, signing for this period. People didn't think he was going to sign this year, but St. Louis kind of swooped in, you know what I'm trying to say, and scooped him up. And I think you've been leading the charge here on Juan Ben Cho. I think you have him a little higher than I do. So what have you seen from all the video? I know you've dug into Juan Ben Cho quite a bit here. What have you seen that has you really excited about Juan Ben Cho?
Well, I think one of the major differences is he has a ton of game film, because he played stateside. Like, he was in Georgia playing for like some travel teams for a good bit of time, and his YouTube is very active, which I found very helpful. He has a ton of game footage. And the question mark is, everybody says, oh, you're onto him because of a home run derby video with an aluminum bat, which is silly, because it's a home run derby with an aluminum bat. Yeah, I mean, he did hit a monster home run that went like 480 feet and like 115 miles an hour off the bat, but he still had a exit velocity of like 111 with a wood bat, which is pretty impressive. Honestly, he's very, very sound at the plate. And I think everybody's just like, you know what? He's not worth it, because the Cardinals didn't give him a high bonus. And everybody looks at that. Everybody's like, all right, these guys are good because they got a high signing bonus. But exactly what Eric said, he was supposed to be in next year's class. There was some speculation that he was going to sign with, with Washington next year and kind of be their big guy. But when he decided to reclassify for this class, we know that all of Washington's money went to Christian Vaquero. So the Nationals didn't have the money to pony up for to get him this year. And most teams didn't, because here's the thing, like, these signing bonuses have already been handshaked, agreed on for a year or two. So they know what they were giving out. And most teams didn't have a lot left, which led Cho to only get about 500K. So with Cho, I just look and very good swing, very good work ethic. And yeah, I would say all professional ball players have a good work ethic, but he's constantly at it. He's constantly posting workout videos. He's constantly posting, working on his swing. And when you look at it, he's already built so well for his age. And another thing, I mean, he's so young. Most of these players coming from Korea and Japan are much older, but he's only 18 and he's jacked already. I can't remember what he's listed at exactly, but he is big dude. He honestly runs pretty well. I was clocking some of his, he has stolen base videos on his YouTube, which was cool. The swing's just very sound. He creates a lot of lag, and he has that typical big leg kick that most foreign players do, or at least Asian players do, I'd say. They all kind of mimic that same big leg kick, but he makes it work. His timing's really good, and the common misconception is, at least when you have the big leg kick, it's harder to adjust. But I've watched Cho on off-speed pitches, and he waits back well. He keeps his weight balanced, even with the big leg kick. His front leg up in the air, but he stays back on the off-speed and still hits them well. So that's kind of what was big for me. I think there's really big power here. The hit tool is the question mark, because we don't know, but we'll see him live this year. And actually, what I was talking to Jeff about is, Jeff sent me a thing this morning where Cho has been working with Driveline. He was actually working out with Nolan Arenado this morning and Matt Carpenter, which I thought was really interesting. So some big names that he's working with, and he's at Driveline. So he's into the analytics already, which is huge. So those factors lead me to rank him 35th. Big fan of Cho, and we'll know more this year. I think we'll obviously get to see him live this year, but yeah, he's a big one to watch, and he could fly up the board, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. He's definitely created a lot of buzz. So you'll see, I think you'll start seeing his name get, higher and higher in rankings as time goes on here. Definitely like Cho as well.
Yeah, that may have been my fault. Created too much buzz.
Hey, someone's got to do it, right?
Yeah.
In order for buzz to happen, someone has to create it. So
nobody was talking about him. And I found him. I'm like, what in the world? Like, all the buzz around him was actually with the dog when he signed. Like, he had that cute dog that had the
I remember that stuff.
Yeah, and that picture that went viral. But yeah, no one was talking about how good he is on the field.
That's all that matters, right? Yep. That's what we draft off of, is their talent on the field. A couple other, while we're on the international kick here, let's talk about a couple other international guys that we just really like. It doesn't have to be like guys that are third, fourth in our rankings, just guys that we're really intrigued by. For me, I think a guy I might be higher on than most, I love Anthony Gutierrez. He signed with the Texas Rangers out of Venezuela, and he's built very well right now. 6'3", 180, kind of similar to Christian Vaquero, and he's shown a very good feel for hitting in the videos that we've seen. I think there's potential for a lot more power. Like, you'll see the power grades that you will see on some of the bigger sites may not jump off the page at you, but from what I've seen in video of Anthony Gutierrez, quick hands, really powerful swing, has some nice natural loft given his bat path here. So I think Gutierrez could be a plus power guy with at least average speed as well. He's a good athlete, so probably lose a little bit of speed as he fills out, but I think there's enough athleticism there to still, at least add some element of speed to his game long term. And Texas, I think he's going to be in a pretty good, they've had some decent success over the last handful of years developing offensive prospects. So I think he's in a pretty solid system. We'll see. But I love Gutierrez a lot here. I think I have him ranked a little higher than most. Lazaro Montez went to Seattle. He's another very strong, toolsy outfielder with big power. Seattle obviously has a great track record with developing prospects over the last handful of years, so great fit there. Tony Blanco is another one I'm just intrigued by. He's a little younger. He's one of the younger players from this class, still only 16, won't be 17 until mid-May, but he's a beast. He's listed 6'6", 245. I mean, he's had some time in the States as well, so I'm not sure how the frame goes. Maybe he just gets too big. We'll see. You don't see many 6'6", 245-pound 16-year-olds out there. So he's just one that I'm just really intrigued by. The raw power is there, plus a better raw power already. So this is another one, too. If you want like a later round kind of flyer, you want some upside, Tony Blanco's a guy I've been kind of targeting in my first-year player drafts. Any a couple other names you're intrigued by here, this international class, Chris?
Yeah, Diego Benitez with the Braves. No homer pick here. This is the quote from MLB Pipeline. Benitez is a toolsy shortstop that has drawn comparisons to young Manny Machado. Now, that's pretty lofty expectations, and we always like shy away from these. We're like, don't listen to these. But when a guy gets high praise, you kind of pay attention a little bit. He's already at 6'1", 190, so not as big as Lazaro Montes by any means. And Montes is huge, like massive dude. But anyway, Benitez is pretty well-rounded player. I'm not sure he's going to be like a huge standout in any one area, but he's got really good bat speed. The reports are good about his plate approach as well. He can hit the ball to all fields extremely well. A big line drive hitter, so I guess the biggest thing will be him adding loft to get to that home run power. But there's a lot of good reports about him that he picks up spin well. And I really like that. And the Braves this was the Braves' first year back into with a full international signing pool after all the scandal with Kevin Maitán and all that stuff. And yeah, but anyway, so they were excited about him. I don't know. I think Benitez could really pop off and be a really solid player that is really under the radar. So I just have him just inside the top 50 overall for FYPD, but I think you can get him a lot later than that. So Benitez is one to watch out for, in my opinion.
Yeah, totally echo that on my side as well. I have him 54th, so only a few spots behind Chris. Yeah, definitely a lot of intriguing guys in this year's international market, led by obviously Vaquero and Roderick Arias. And then after that, just for the other international guys, the third one I have is Ricardo Cabrera. And then going down my list here, Anthony Gutierrez, Juan Bin Cho, and William Bergola Jr. Those are like my top six. And I have Tony Blanco at 7. So a lot of intriguing FYPD guys this year, but don't go overboard, obviously, because you know there people tend to go over, like we saw that with Jason Dominguez. Like, people go overboard on these international guys every year, and don't avoid them, obviously, but just don't take Vaquero 4th or something like that. Let's just really get a look to see where they value it, as opposed to others. Look at the skill sets and go from there. Any other, before we take the break and get into the listener questions, Chris, any other risers or fallers you wanted to talk about here?
I think I'm pretty good. I don't really see anybody that made significant gains one way or another down a little deeper, but yeah, I think I'm good.
I'll also mention a couple others real quick that did rise a bit in my rankings. Alex Benelis, drafted by Milwaukee, came over to Boston. He had a really good showing in the minor leagues after the draft, after a kind of a so-so final collegiate season. So he's kind of been going back up my rankings a little bit here, as has, where was he? Aaron Zavala's moved up a little bit for me. Ethan Wilson's moved up a little bit for me from the Phillies. I think he's had an underrated power speed blend there as well. I've moved Ben Kaderna above Frank Mozzicato barely, but I liked, you know, looking back, Chris and I have talked about it multiple times before, but how we saw both of these guys out at fall instructs in Arizona, and we are both more impressed by Kaderna than Mozzicato. And I kind of looked into it more, and I think I like Kaderna more, so I'm going to rank him as such. So there's a couple other guys I moved up. Denzel Clark is another one. Just really toolsy from the Oakland Athletics. Great speed. If he comes along at the plate with the hit tool, he could be a guy that really shoots up even higher, like top 25 or 30 from this class for sure. So there's a couple other names that have moved up for me. We'll go ahead and take a quick break here, though. Come back on the other side, get into the listener questions, and round out the show with a little sneak peek at next year's, kind of just the top 10 for next year's, or actually technically this year's draft class, this summer's draft class, and how they kind of compare to the current class we're talking about here. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
We'll be back with more Fantrax Toolshed right after this.
Thank you. Want to create a breakthrough gene therapy or life-saving vaccine? Pioneer aerospace excellence? Take your hospitality tech brand international? Montgomery County, Maryland is where you can do all that and more. Use our ideal location next to DC, diverse world-class talent, and our vast business resources to be the next company to make your mark and transform the world. Visit bnext.thinkmoco.com. That's bnext.thinkmoco.com to learn how we can help you create something remarkable.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. Welcome back from the break. Let's get into the listener questions. And thank you to everyone for that submitted questions, whether it was on our Discord, through our Patreon, or on Twitter. We had a bunch of great questions here, so we'll try our best to get to them all. If we don't, we apologize, but we'll do our best here. First question we got on the docket, Chris. What player has top 10 fantasy pick potential down the road? And that's a loaded, not a loaded question, but that's a hard question to answer, because top 10 overall, like, we're talking Vlad Jr., we're talking Bryce Harper, we're talking Acuna and all the juniors. So, you know, that's a hard question to answer, I think. But maybe what's, we kind of look at it as like maybe the top couple guys that have the highest upside for fantasy, the highest ceilings, let's say.
Yeah, I think that's fair, because top 10 is really, really tough to crack into. But when I think about those high-end players, you're obviously looking at either an ace or someone with power speed upside. So that leads me to my number one player, and why I have him ranked here, is Khalil Watson, because he does have the power speed element that most others don't in this class. And, you know, I don't know what kind of peak power we see from Watson. So the power, if it doesn't evolve into like 25 home run power, then he may not reach this kind of ceiling, but he could definitely be a 2020 type player, I think. So Watson's that interesting one for me because of that power speed element. But at the same time, like, it's so hard to say like what these players could become and really see like where they could end up in fantasy rankings. But yeah, for the power speed element, I'd say Watson. I think Lawler has that upside as well, where if all clicks right and his hit tool develops, which he's more than capable of, then he could really make that jump as well. When you look at other guys like House and Marcelo Meyer, they don't really have the speed element, which pushes most people up. And so I guess Lawler and Watson are two, because they have both the power speed element that could really bump them up a list like that for fantasy purposes.
Yeah, the first one I went to was Khalil Watson. Like you mentioned, the power speed, I think, is there with him. I think the power will get there. He's a smaller guy, but he really packs a punch at the plate. So I do think the power will get to that level that could make him an early round fantasy guy. Mayer, you know, I have Mayer my number one. I don't think Mayer has that upside. I think he's maybe got the highest floor of any hitter in this draft class, even over some of the college guys. But he's more, like I said, I've kind of comped him. Best case scenario, maybe working that Corey Seager 2.0, but there's just not much speed there. Maybe Mayer gives you a handful of steals, but I don't even think 10 is in play with Marcelo Mayer. I think he could be plus hit, plus power, but doesn't quite have that speed. But so yeah, Watson's the guy I look at that could be an early round fantasy guy. Jordan Lawler, if the power comes along and that shoulder doesn't hinder him long term, he definitely could be that guy. I agree that Brady House doesn't quite have the speed that we're looking for. Couser has the hit tool, not the power, not quite the power speed. Like, so he's got decent power speed, but not quite what you're looking for from an early round guy. Harry Ford has that upside. He'd be like the third hitter I'd look at here. So that potential plus power, plus speed, maybe even plus hit. We'll see. He's got that upside. Another one, maybe Benny Montgomery has this crazy, stupid power speed blend, but very, very raw at the plates. So raw enough that I don't want to include him in this, but maybe just put him as a dark horse that if that hit tool comes along, that he could be plus Coors Field and everyone thinks all the Rockies, but you know, the talent is here. If that hit tool comes along, maybe Vaquero, he'd be the other guy. I don't think Triantos quite has that ceiling, but Vaquero could. And the only pitcher I really look at would be Jack Leiter here. Maybe Jackson Jobe, but definitely Jack Leiter for sure. He's obviously the highest floor guy in this draft class for pitching side of things, with a high ceiling as well, of course. Next question. What guys from the back half of the top 100 list do you think have a good chance to skyrocket up list this season? I mentioned one of them earlier. Denzel Clark is a guy you can get back end of the top 100. I think could be a big riser this year. So that speed is there. Power's developing. We'll see how the hit tool comes along. A couple others here. Jordan Weyers is a good one. I think he's definitely being slept on in first-year player drafts. Those are the two that stand out the most. You know, maybe, you know, gets the big power guy, Nico Cavadas could jump up. Maybe get Wes Clark jumping up. So those are some of the names I look at here in the back end of my top 100. Chris, who are some guys for you?
Bryce Miller stands out. He's been getting a little more love recently, I've noticed. But Miller, somebody I really liked at A&M last year. Big fastball. He locates it well in the zone. You know, just a two-pitch guy, but
He just hit 100 the other day, too. Did you see that?
Yep. Bullpen, I saw. So he's sneaky to move up some, I think. TJ White's one that I'm probably a little low on. We discussed him a little bit in our Nationals Patreon podcast. But he's one that can move up. I really like White. I'm in at 90 for FYPD, but I need to move him up a decent bit because I almost have him in my top 400. So that needs to be adjusted there. Braylon Bishop, he's one that we talked about, you know, as a potential high-end draft pick his signability led him to go much lower in the draft, but he ended up signing with the Pirates. There's a lot of raw skills there in Bishop's profile, but not out of the realm of possibility that he makes a big jump as well. Like Clark, like you mentioned, looking around, Christian Encarnacion Strand is a decent one with the Twins. First baseman, like him a decent bit. So those are a couple names that I could see really making him some moves up, like from a pure upside standpoint. I like those guys a lot.
Yeah, those are good ones as well. Another one I just saw on my list that I'll throw in here as well. Robbie Martin, outfielder from Florida State in the Rockies organization. And he could be a nice riser as well. Has a nice little power speed blend that you can get later on. So I think he's one that, you know, look at his draft slots. He went pick 230 overall. So I think people sometimes look at the draft pick more than they should. So he's a guy you can probably get late. That's a nice little power speed blend as well. Next question here. How are your leagues approaching, say, Suzuki for FYPDs? If he doesn't sign post-lockout, does the manager have to cut him? Is he ineligible for your FYPD? That is an interesting question because I think it's league dependent. And I think it's something everyone in the league should get together and figure out. You know, me personally, it's my thoughts on it. You know, if you've already had your FYPD and obviously Suzuki was taken, I'm okay just letting him sit on that roster for a year. You know, if he's not going to come over this year, he'll come over next year. So I'm okay with just letting him sit there. And I think it'd be too hard to go back is what happens. Then you have to figure out, all right, let's say someone took Suzuki fifth in your FYPD and then he has to, you know, he or she has to give Suzuki back. How do you compensate that lost draft pick? Do you give him a draft pick next year? Just, I think it creates a lot of additional headaches that you don't want to deal with. So I'm fine letting Suzuki stay on the team that drafted him.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think that in some leagues that if you draft him and he doesn't sign, you end up having to cut him. But the alternative there is you could do a compensated draft pick for next year, which would be interesting, kind of like the MLB does. So that could be a fun way to go about it. I'm pretty confident that he signs. And so
as am I, yeah.
Yeah. So, and he said he's signing after the lockout. He would have signed if, I mean, because his posting would have been up December 19th. So he would have signed if there was no lockout. He had already been on team. We'd already known everything, blah, blah, blah. But I think you should have him eligible in the FYPD, because then the frustration becomes if he's not and he signs, then there's going to, your league's going to be fighting on how it should be handled. And there's going to be, if you say fab, then people are going to spend all their fab on him. It's going to create a mess. People are going to say it's not fair. If they had the top draft pick, they wanted him, et cetera. So I would just let him be included. If he doesn't get drafted or if he doesn't sign, then I'm fine with him sitting on the roster. I'm also fine with having to cut him. But I think the manager should be awarded some kind of compensation if he doesn't sign. So that would be my solution. You could potentially add another draft pick for next year's class if he doesn't sign. But all that being said, I'm about 100% sure he's going to sign. So
yep, same here.
Have him included in your FYPD, draft as if he's signing, because he likely will.
Maybe with my Red Sox. We'll see.
Yep.
Definitely been rumored as a potential landing spot there. So we'll see. Next question here. What is the trade value of a top five FYPD pick? Like X for Y isn't a trade in a trade isn't enough, but X plus FYPD equals Y. Chris, what are your thoughts on that one?
This is the questions we get a lot. What is it worth? It's tough to value because I think people always overvalue draft picks in general. So if you have a top five pick this year, I'd probably shoot for a top five pick next year as well. And actually, I'll give a shout to James Anderson, who actually wrote a really good piece on this of how to value those picks in FYPD. He wrote like an FYPD primer, basically setting up the whole thing and what he would trade it for. So just go into his article real quick. And if you don't subscribe to RotoWire, you probably should. There's a lot of good information there. But he talks about how basically, so the one range, like the first overall pick, he has Marcelo Meyer there. Most people do, but he talked about the 2-7 range all being in the 35-50 range. So if you look at like other prospects you may trade it for, it would be people in that range. And it just depends. Like you can look at our rankings and see on Fantrax and see where they slot in at. But if you're looking for win now pieces, which would be the reason to trade a FYPD pick, in my opinion, is if you're looking to build more of a contending team, I'd shoot for, if you had a top five pick, I'd probably shoot for at least like a top 150 overall player on our dynasty rankings, whoever that may be. I would start there and then kind of work from there. But you kind of mentioned like a formula. So X plus FYPD equals Y. So that's when you leverage the pick to get something better. So you say, I'll trade this top five pick plus said prospect for higher end MLB player. Like that's the reason to trade picks or to trade prospects, is to make your dynasty contending roster better. And so that's kind of what I look at. And it's hard to give like an exact example of that, but you can kind of judge it based on the dynasty rankings, like where we have players ranked, like from this FYPD class. So say like somebody, you have the one pick and somebody wants Marcelo Meyer, then go over to our dynasty list and see where Marcelo Meyer is. And that gives you at least an idea of where the value is comparative to MLB players. And value is all speculative, like everybody values differently. So it's tough to give a great answer, but I'm using picks and prospects to make my team better from an MLB standpoint where I can contend. So that would be the goal of trading that, in my opinion.
Well said. All right. Next, I have picks 10 and 12 after some trades. I'm targeting Vaquero at 10. Who else should I have an eye on? That's actually a fun range to be in, I think, because you'll get some of these guys from like my second tier that could fall. Like you might see Colton Cowser fall to the 10 to 12 range. You might see, you know, Harry Ford in that range. You might get, you know, or you can go one of the opposite guys. Maybe James Triantos is there or Trey Sweeney. So that's a really fun range to be in. Because like 10 or 7 through 14 in my rankings, I don't think there's a huge gap there. So you can probably get two of those guys, see who falls. Vaquero is definitely in that mix as well if you want to take him with one of those two picks. And then see if maybe Davis falls, maybe Cowser falls. Benny Montgomery is in there as well, Harry Ford. So a lot of upside in that range. What a good targets there for sure.
Yeah, I agree. And somebody's going to fall in that range. Like you probably won't. I mean, I'm assuming that Watson, House, Meyer, Suzuki, Leiter, Lawler are probably off the board. Probably Henry Davis too. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Ford on the board at 10. I wouldn't be surprised to see Kowser on the board at 10. Trey Sweeney, like I'd take all those. Vaquero's a good target too. Benny Montgomery's a good target at 12, I think. So he may be one at 10 or 12. So if you can go Vaquero plus one of those players we just mentioned, then you're going to be pretty well set, in my opinion.
For sure. All right, next here. In FYPDs that are add like all the free agents that weren't already on a roster, so other prospects as well, where would you put late season breakouts like Steven Kwan, Nelson Velazquez, or Lars Nootbaar? Chris, where do you got those guys in comparison? Well,
Kwan's in a different tier than the rest of those, in my opinion. So Kwan is going to contribute this year. Kwan is a safer bat because of the high contact rates. I mean, like 90% contact minor league rates, like just silly stuff. He may not have the power of Velazquez, but he's going to chip in power and speed. Like he could be a 15-15 type guy with a 280 average. Now, there's no guarantee that Kwan hits as a rookie. I do think he debuts early this year because Cleveland's outfield is a mess. They don't really have anybody. So Kwan, for me, slots in the third tier where I would draft him around the likes of Trey Sweeney, Matt McClain, Christian Vaquero, or Benny Montgomery. While he may not have the upside of those guys, he's going to contribute soon, and he has the high floor. Velazquez probably falls into tier six for me, like the Josh Baez, Zach Geloff, Cooper Kinney type range, where he's like the back end of the 20s for as far as like rankings, because I do think it was a little fluky, his Arizona Fall League. He still swings and misses a lot. Nootbaar, I just don't see Nootbaar getting playing time. Nootbaar's intriguing, but where does he fit? Even with a DH, he does not fit anywhere in that lineup. I mean, the Cardinals are loaded in the outfield. Plus, I don't expect him to be the DH they look to fill that role with. Like, so Nootbaar, I'm honestly not considering. Like, I'd rather just take a younger player and
same here,
and hope that they pan out versus drafting a large Nootbaar in FYPD. But Kwan would be a target. Velazquez would be a later target for me.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with that. I'd have Kwan probably back into my top 20 around like McClain, Jay Allen, Gavin Williams, James Wood range. Velazquez.
Tax day is coming.
Oh, no.
But if you sign up for Robinhood Gold's IRA with a 3% match, you can get up to $195 for the 2023 tax year.
Oh, yeah.
Sign up at Robinhood.com/boost by tax day to get the biggest contribution match on the market. Subscription fees apply. You know you got the
most. Investing involves risk. 3% match requires gold for 1 year from first match. Must keep IRA for 5 years. Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC.
Probably he lines up more like in the mid 30s, like Will Bednar, Christian Franklin, Maxwell Muncy, Juan Bincho, maybe in that area, but also depends on if you want to take the upside guys or not. And Nootbaar, maybe, I don't know, in the 60 ish range. You know, he's a decent player, and I don't think it was a complete fluke what he did last year, but I echo exactly what Chris said with that playing time. Where does he fit in? I think he needs a trade because he's behind. You know, they're still going to try to fit in Nolan Gorman and Juan Yepez, and they already have the Gold Glovers all over the field. So I just don't see him being anything more than a fourth outfielder in the short term. And long term, doesn't have that great of an upside. So if he's not helping you in the short term, it really kind of minimizes his impact to your team, whether you're even if you are in a win now mode. So yeah, I maybe if he falls late enough, he's in the 70s, maybe I'll take a shot on him at that point. But he'll probably go earlier than that after the season he had last year. Next year, FYPD targets who could reach the bigs first. I mean, Jack Leiter is an obvious pick there. Some of the, you know, another, I think Gavin Williams could be a fairly quick riser. Sam Bachman, he could go the bullpen. They could use him out of the bullpen if the Angels are in playoff contention, which is, I know, kind of funny. But yeah, he's those three arms could definitely rise a good amount there. Maybe like a Will Bednar for the Giants, polished collegiate arm out of Mississippi State. Hitting side of things, you know, obviously this was a very prep bat heavy class. I mean, Suzuki, okay, not even talking about Suzuki, so he'll be in the majors in day one. But I think Colton Cowser probably is the quickest riser there. Him or Trey Sweeney, maybe a Matt McClain. Those are the three I look at. Davis, I would say, but he's a catcher. So usually, and Pittsburgh's been known to kind of slow cook their prospects a little more than most. So I don't think he's one of the first few bats to reach this class. But yeah, those are the names I look at.
Yeah. And I'd add Sal Frelick. I mean, he's, you know, a high hit tool type. So he could debut pretty quick. Any pitcher, I mean, because you look like Garrett Crochet, I mean, he debuted that like right after being drafted. So I would say the pitchers have the best chance to make it first. Probably Bachman. I think Bachman is probably more of a reliever. He's kind of like Crochet. So I see Bachman making it to the bullpen if they need him. Leiter, I think he's ready enough. I mean, we'll see. I bet they start him in Double A this year if I was guessing. So he may be one that moves quickly through. I still don't think we see him this year in the majors, but Bachman, I wouldn't be surprised if we do see him this year. I think you hit on most of them. I don't really see many others that will make it that quick, but pitchers plus like a Frelick and Cowser could be the ones that, and even Matt McClain. I think Matt McClain's advanced enough where he probably is late 2023 at least. So seems like a long way away, but you know, those will be the ones that I think debut first.
Yeah. And my goal is on at least one dynasty team to have both Sam Bachman and one of the Turners, Justin or Trey, just so I could have my team name be Bachman Turner Overdrive. I just want one team named Bachman Turner Overdrive. Going a little 70s frock there. At least for one season. I won't keep it long term. But all right, a couple more here. We'll go a little quicker here so we can get our 2022 sneak peek in as well. We already talked about the tiered top 10. So guys outside the top 5 to 6 rounds of the MLB draft who may be targets. There are actually a good amount this year, Chris. Like you got some of the guys that they didn't think would sign, but actually did sign. So who are a couple of guys you're looking at out that fit this criteria?
I'm going to pull up the draft board to make sure I'm right on all these. What comes to mind for me is Parker Shavers. I think he was 10th round, if I'm not mistaken, to the Cubs. He's out of Coastal Carolina. Yeah, he went 7th round to Coastal, but he's one that was talked about potential first rounder at one point, and he really fell off pretty quickly, but I still like Shavers and think he's a solid player. Hunter Parks, round 8 to the Cincinnati Reds. He's another one. He was a JUCO pitcher here in South Carolina where, I mean, just really, really good stuff. And he had some injuries that kind of factored into his falling, but he was another one that had been talked about maybe being one of the top JUCO players off the board. But I had seen some video of him in the offseason, and he was just looking very, very dominant. So I'm thinking that Parks could be a big strikeout type guy. Who knows if he's a bullpen guy, but he's at least intriguing. Yeah, I found a video where he was touching 100 in October after he was sitting 91 and 93 in much of the spring. So that's pretty intriguing there. He was actually committed to play at South Carolina. So he'd been playing SEC ball if he hadn't got drafted, but he's with the Reds, signed with them. So both those guys come to mind. I'm gonna look up a couple more while you take yours.
Yeah, a few that stand out to me. We already mentioned him earlier. Braylon Bishop went in, what was it, the 9th round? No, maybe later than that, 12th to 13th round. He was picked 403 to the Pittsburgh Pirates. He's definitely one I would target. Wes Clark was picked 297 out of South Carolina to the Milwaukee Brewers. I already mentioned Robbie Martin. A fielder, he fits this criteria as well. Nico Cavadas, Cavadas is a big boy. Like he's just got big boy power. First baseman, maybe probably more of a TH long-term, but out of Notre Dame, went to my Boston Red Sox. Another one just for that power that could carry him into a DH role long-term if he hits enough, which I think he could. He was a solid hitter at Notre Dame. A couple others here. You mentioned Parker Shavers. That's a good one. I like Parker Shavers in the Cubs system too. I think that's a great fit for him. Now, those are really the ones that stand out the most to me looking at my list here. Maybe a guy like Will Frizzell out of Texas A&M. He went, I believe, in the 7th round. Mike Vassell, right-hander out of Virginia, went to the Mets in the 7th round as well. Yeah, those are the guys I kind of look at here.
Yeah, there's a couple. And honestly, the arms are the more intriguing, like the college arms. So yeah. Richard Fitz out of Auburn, he went to the Yankees in the 6th round. He was a very solid arm at Auburn, so he's one that I like as well. Kevin Abel, another solid arm out of Oregon State. He went seventh round to the Reds. The Reds got a lot of good pitchers. Sixth round Reds pick, Justice Thompson at North Carolina.
Oh, yes, Justice Thompson. I fully forgot about him.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's intriguing. Luke Albright with the Diamondbacks. He was out of Kent State. Very underrated college arm, I think, but he went sixth round to the D-backs. He'll be one to watch. Yeah, there's some intriguing names. Not all these ranked on my FYPD list. I probably should put them on there because if I'm mentioning them, they need to be on there. So there are some intriguing guys late. And this is like a 30-team like FYPD we're talking where you're taking shot on these guys. But, you know, they're intriguing enough for like just outside the top 100. They could give you a decent value for your pick. So, yeah, you got any more you thought of? Or
Not really. I think we covered them all pretty well here. Got a lot of targets there. Definitely some good players later on in this draft class. Our last question is actually something we're going to talk about here. They're asking how many players from the 2022 draft class would rank number one here. We're going to talk about that now. We'll give a little sneak peek of the next year's draft class, which is absolutely freaking loaded. Let's just give our, you know, we won't go obviously super deep into that. We'll have our own. We'll talk about this draft class ad nauseum in other episodes in the future. But I think let's just give our top 10 here for the 2022 draft class. So we can talk about how they compare to the top of this current draft class we're talking about. For me, there's a, you know, I have a, this top 10 is absolutely loaded and it doesn't even include Dylan Lesko. I just bumped him down from 10 to 11 to move somebody else up into the 10 slot. The top four, I've gone back and forth on a million times. I have stayed with Elijah Green at one. I've seen others have any of these other three guys in there, but I have Green at one, outfielder IMG Academy in Florida, Chase DeLauder, outfielder James Madison at two, Drew Jones, son of all-star center fielder for the Atlanta Braves, Andrew Jones, out of Wesleyan High School in Georgia at number three, Tamar Johnson, who might be the most advanced hitter out of all of these, probably is actually, number four, another Georgia high school guy. Chris, I'm so jealous you live down in that area. You got all these guys like within a few hours of you. And then I got Jace Jung, Texas Tech second baseman at five. Gavin Cross, no relation, but it's just cool to see some guy named Cross up in the top 10. Outfielder from Virginia Tech six. Brock Jones, outfielder from Stanford seven. Jacob Berry, corner infielder from LSU eight. Brooks Lee, shortstop from Cal Poly nine. And then I have Dylan Beavers, outfielder from California at number 10. Chris, who's your top 10?
All right, so I've actually got Tamar Johnson number one because I think he's the highest hit floor. Like the hit tool was absolutely insane there with, for his size, just really, really good power. So Green is number two, and really they're 1A, 1B because Elijah Green's ceiling is one of the best I remember in a long time. I mean, you just look at what he does. He's a great athlete. He runs well. The power's certainly there. You saw the video the other night where he hit that monster home run, like 110 off the bat, and it was pouring rain. Like the rain was, you could see it moving sideways, like it was that strong. And you saw it in the video, and Mother Nature couldn't stop him. Like he was that good. So, and Drew Jones three. So the prep guys dominate the top of this, in my opinion. And then followed up with Jace Jung at four and Brooks Lee at five. Then Dylan Lesko comes in. I think Lesko's going to be the highest prep arm that we've seen drafted in a while. He's just downright nasty, and some teams shy away from prep arms, others don't. So it really depends on what teams are feeling, but I think he's a top 10 pick, and he's got the stuff where you think about a Landon Sims, who is going to be one of the top college arms, where give Dylan Lesko 3 years in college and think about where he'd be. And he's already as advanced his Sims in some ways. So that's why I have him a little higher, because I think that the upside is just so great here. And I've got Brock Jones from Stanford at seven, Gavin Cross at eight, Jacob Berry at nine, and Chase DeLauder at 10. And because I like him, I bumped 11 with Landon Sims. So Sims is a really talented arm. I'm on another arm in there. So I put Sims in at 11 in that slot. So very intriguing mix of prep and college. And the arms are actually really good too. Like I'm not sure there's any Jack Leiter in this class, but the depth of the arms is also really good in this class.
And we still got plenty of time. There could be a Jack Leiter. I mean, not a Jack Leiter, but definitely could be some guys that pop up. There will be some guys that pop up.
This guys that year, Kamar Rocker was the lock at 1-1, and Leiter wasn't really considered. So
Yeah, and it was another guy that was Judd Fabian. Yep. Fabian was a guy that was like near the top of the board yep. before the season started, and then he had a subpar year, very inconsistent showing for Florida, so he dropped down to what the 30s of yeah, some FYPD rankings, and then obviously he didn't sign. Now he'll be back in this year's draft class. Where do I have him? I have him on here somewhere. I have him 26 as of now, but we'll see. That definitely can change. Yeah, Landon Sims is a good one as well, right-hander from Mississippi State. I have him 18, but I could bump him up even higher. So the big difference we have here is I have DeLauder at 2. You have DeLauder at 10. I've obviously been very vocal on my Chase DeLauder love. I think he's going to be an absolute – he's could be like Colton Cowser with more power speed upside. That's where I'm at on DeLauder. But it's definitely a very talented top 10. I would take – in terms of people that would take over, you know, the Marcelo Mayer – Khalil Watsons of this draft class, I would take Green. I would take DeLauder. I would take Jones. I would take Johnson. And then it's Jace Young, my number five, younger brother of Josh Young. That's when it starts getting like he'd be right in that range. So definitely my top four. Young would probably be right in that top tier of the 2021 draft class. Brock Jones probably in Jones, Barry, Lee, Beavers, Lesko, probably all in tier two. Like Lesko would probably be a little bit ahead of Jackson Job for me. So he'd probably be in the teens or so if you combine these draft classes. So it definitely a very exciting top 10. And like I said, we'll have a lot of other guys that probably pop in here as the collegiate season just started, about 4 or 5 days ago. So definitely a lot more guys that could pop into there, but a very exciting class altogether.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned the differential in ranking. Well, I have DeLauder a little lower. It just shows how good the top 10 is.
And exactly, yeah.
Some are going to say, well, you're moving him down based on his slow start. No, I'm actually not. So my question is, you look at Chase Young, who hit for as good of average over a much larger span last year. I mean, DeLauder only played about half the games versus Young, who played 56 games and hit for – a 337 average with 21 home runs. And I think DeLauder's approach and hit tool is just as good. I mean, we saw him on the Cape, and really that's where his value really vaulted was in the Cape Cod League, where he was extremely good. But I just wonder how much of the power we see stick. And that's my biggest question mark with DeLauder is the power. I think he's very similar to Colton Cowser personally, which is about where I have Colton Cowser ranked in last year's class. So, and just with the depth of this class, I would say that it's a fair spot, but you'll see them all over the board. And so we mentioned a lot is going to change week over week over week with this. And so there's a long way to go before draft day. So the board could look dramatically different. But yeah, right now I definitely have Tamar, Elijah Green, and Drew Jones all as top 20 prospects, most likely. So they'd slot in at number one in this class. I think Young and Brooks Lee are pretty close there with the number one spot for this year. So 3 to 5, I would say, would be considered for to be number one in the 2021 draft class for FYPD at least.
Yep. Very exciting. We'll see. It's going to be a very fun collegiate season here leading up to the draft in about 4.5-5 months or so. So this will definitely change. We'll do more episodes regarding the 2022 draft class, of course, once they all sign, and then we'll do more next fall as well, of course. So, but that will wrap up this episode here. Hopefully this FYPD update was very beneficial for you all as your FYPDs get underway, or maybe you've already had them, or maybe you got some more, but hopefully this helps you. This was a lot of fun. We hope you all enjoyed it, and thank you for tuning in again this episode. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at EricCross04. Chris is at RotoClegg. And our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. And check out all of our written work at Fantrax HQ or over on Fantasy Pros or our Patreon. And join us again next time for more fantasy baseball talk. But until then, everyone take care.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.